WILL Agricultural Programming is supported by Farm Credit Illinois, home to a team dedicated to helping farm families succeed by providing reliable, consistent credit and trained crop insurance expertise. More information available at farmcreditil.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 7th day of August 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Brian Sutton will be here. He's the founder of a company called Air Scout that uses technology to look down upon fields and find the stress areas, work with scouts on the ground, and come up with plans of action. It's all about precision agriculture. You'd be interested, I'm sure, in hearing about Air Scout and the kinds of services they are continuing to provide across the whole of the Corn Belt. Then a bit later in the program, the state statistician, speaking of the Corn Belt, will be here to update us on conditions in their areas right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, I'm out of the office for this afternoon. Wayne Nelson will be along in just a bit with the settlement prices from the CME Group in Chicago. Let's take a look at the calendar, things that are coming up. A week from today, the Illinois State Fair will celebrate Ag Day and the sale of champions will happen. Watch our website and listen to our programs for updates from the state fairgrounds. And then on the following Thursday, that's the 16th day or the third Thursday of the month, as always, Agronomy Day takes place right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I'm your opportunity to meet and talk with the professors and specialists that work directly with commodity agriculture. It's on the South Farms out on First Street, just south of the Assembly Hall. You'll find it as you drive south from there. So check that out. And we open our doors at 7 a.m. That'll be Thursday, the 16th day of August, and we hope to have you there. And then the following week, on Wednesday, the 22nd, I'll be in Watseka, Illinois, along with the folks at First Trust Savings and Bank for an Outlook panel, including Merrill Crowley, Kurt Kimmel, and Wayne Nelson. Drop by there if you're one of their customers, or just come on out. That's our first Outlook panel of the fall season, really. And Merrill Crowley, Kurt Kimmel, and Wayne Nelson will join us. So make sure you drop by for that. And then on the 29th, if you're way up in the Highland Community College area and up north, drop by for the Field Crops Day. Check with your local extension office for more information. Let me take a moment now to thank you for listening to our ag programming. Thank you. I mean it. Really, thank you for listening to the programming. And just as a reminder, here's what you hear each and every business day. We start at 8:55 a.m. with the opening market report, including Aaron Curtis, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Bill Mayer. And then an update at 10:58 a.m. with five other voices, Joe Vaklevic, Greg Ginder, Merrill Crowley, Chip Nellinger, and Steve Georgie, followed up at 12:58 each and every business day with Sue Martin, and then, of course, the closing market report, including our analysts Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzalo. And we wrap up each week by recording Commodity Week on Thursday evening. You can hear it at willag.org that night or on Friday afternoon at 2:36. Oh, and don't forget that we also have a whole series of regularly scheduled analysts during the closing market report for weather. Those include meteorologist on Monday, Mark Russo, Tuesday, Don Day, Wednesday, Drew Lerner, Thursday, Mike Tenora, and on Friday afternoon, both Jim Angel and Eric Snodgrass. WillAg.org. We think it's one of the most comprehensive places that you can find information about markets and weather and agricultural news. Oh, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With more than 150 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is the Closing Mark Report for Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson is now here from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks so much for being with us. Tell me what happened in Chicago for the day.
Well, we started off the evening with the crop ratings coming out being a little bit farther drop in the beans than expected. We saw a little bit of rally in the beans. We saw the wheat take off and was up about 10 cents overnight. And then in the morning, why we saw somewhat of a reversal, but the funds liquidating some of their long wheat and some of their long corn and buying some of their short beans back, unwinding some spreads. So as the day ended up, we got wheat down in the day, corn mildly down in the day, and beans higher on the day.
Yeah, so beans gained about 10 and a half cents across the floor as we talk during the closing minutes of the trade for the day. When you look forward to the Friday reports, what is the expectation from the United States Department of Agriculture on this first crop production set of numbers?
Well, you know, the estimate for beans is going to be 49.6 is the average trade guess. Of course, we've seen anywhere from 48 to 51.5 on some of the large private companies already. 176.2 is the average guess by about the 25 average together here on the corn. That being, of course, 174 the last time that way. So I think that, you know, we're looking for some increases in both the corn and the bean numbers there. The rains that we got last night, you know, really were helpful over here. We were starting to get dry again, but we got over an inch of rain on Monday evening and seeing different showers come across. On the news wires, though, we are sort of hearing that southern Minnesota and northern Iowa could have some problems because of their later planting because of so much rain in that area and also some overabundance of moisture through the areas, but all in all, the crops look really good in our area.
Anything across the planet or from D.C. that we should be watching out this week?
Well, we should watch for some great news to come out of the Russian or the Chinese negotiations, but I'm afraid we're not going to see that. We are seeing that it looks like we're going to see the NAFTA agreement continue to move along behind closed doors, and it's going to be good. We did see an announcement out of Brazil that said that they were going to stop using Roundup down there, or it will stop in 30 days that way, and that's a great concern as to how they will control the weeds in their crops down there.
And finally, did I see news that Argentina may end up exporting more bean meal to China and that U.S. soybeans could go south of the border here?
Yes, very much so, and that as long as we can ship the beans out somehow along the way, well, that would be still somewhat beneficial to us that way. The one thing in the trade is somewhat looking at that we are somewhat limited in what the rallies and the beans can do if we don't get something straightened out with China. If we totally lose them as a market out there, why rallies much above the 925 to 930 seem out of whack for right now.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Let's take a look now at yesterday afternoon's USDA Weekly Crop Progress Report. It shows as of a Sunday, 96% of the corn crop had silked across the nation. 92% is the rolling five-year average. 57% of that crop is in the dough stage. 37% is the five-year average. 12% is dented. 6% is normal. The condition of the crop at 50% good and 21% excellent is down just about 1% from the previous week. 92% of the soybeans have bloomed, 86% is the rolling five-year average, 75% of that crop has set pods, 56% is the rolling five-year average. It's in 51% good and 16% excellent condition. That's down substantially from the 53 and 17 from the previous week. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS. Iowa farmers had 6 days suitable for field work last week. Activities for the week included harvesting hay and oats for grain, spraying for aphids, and moving grain. Subsoil moisture levels in south central and southeast Iowa continue to fall, with 48% considered very short. Almost all of the corn crop is silked. 55% of the corn crop has reached the dough stage or beyond, over a week ahead of average. Corn dented was at 8%. Corn condition fell to 75% good to excellent. 94% of the soybean crop was blooming, with 81% setting pods, over a week ahead of both last year and the average. Soybean condition declined slightly to 74%, good to excellent. Pasture conditions declined to 46%, rated good to excellent. Regrowth of pastures and hay has been a concern, especially in the southern two-thirds of the state. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were right on the average last week in Illinois, and rainfall was 1/4 inch above normal. Northern and western parts of the state had below average rainfall last week, but the rest of the state ranged from slightly above normal to 1.5 inches above normal rainfall for the week. The Illinois soybean crop is now setting pods on 84% of acres, compared to 67% 1 year ago and 60% for the 5 year average. 95% of soybeans are now blooming, compared to 88% normally. The condition of the soybean crop was rated 5% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 75% good to excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. 81% of Illinois corn acres have reached the dough stage or beyond. That compares to 54% 1 year ago and 51% normally. 21% of acres have reached the dent stage compared to 6% normally. The condition of the corn crop was rated as 4% very poor to poor, 15% fair, and 81% good to excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. Growing degree days accumulated since May 1 are more than 10% above normal across the state. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician. Minnesota farmers made substantial progress on small grain harvest. There were 5.5 days suitable for field work during the week, and activities included cutting hay, small grain harvest, and scouting and spraying for aphids. 97% of the corn crop was in or beyond the silking stage. That's 6 days ahead of the 5 year average. 45% of the corn had reached the dough stage. That's 6 days ahead of average. Corn crop condition fell slightly to 77% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 95%. That's 4 days ahead of average. 81% of the soybeans were setting pods, over a week ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 74% good to excellent. 95% of the spring wheat was coloring or beyond. That's 9 days ahead of last year. 13% of the spring wheat had been harvested. That's 3 days ahead of last year, but in line with average. And pasture conditions were rated 68% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Stephen Dothage with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. With the Indiana Crop and Weather Report, early week rainfall brought much-needed relief to fields throughout the state. Corn and soybean conditions remained stable throughout the week, with the percentage rated good to excellent, higher than last year, and the 5 year average for both crops. The above average rainfall and warm temperatures kept corn and soybean progress slightly ahead of schedule. While the early week rains sustained pastures, the rest of the week remained relatively dry, giving farmers a nice window for cutting hay. Livestock are reported to be in good condition overall, despite some high temperatures. Other activities for the week included hauling grain, finishing up paperwork with FSA, and spraying herbicides and fungicides. This is Stephen Dothage reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. You know, here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, we're pretty proud that we have on the south end of campus, if you've ever been down past the State Farm Center, the Assembly Hall, the football field, you'll see a series of buildings there that are new. It's an enterprise area where there are all kinds of startups. In fact, when we talk Fridays with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible, that's one of the startups is there, and there's another one called Air Scout. Brian Sutton started that. He's the president and founder of Air Scout. Again, you can find these guys on airscout.com, but you probably want to know a little bit about what they do. He's on the phone line with us now out and about in the Corn Belt today. Hey, Brian, thanks for being with us. We appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, you bet. Happy I can talk.
So tell me about Air Scout and what it is exactly and where you came up with the idea.
Well, I guess first off, I want everybody to know that Air Scout is much different than other aerial imaging companies. And first and foremost, I'm a farmer myself. I was just kind of in search of a way to farm better and, you know, use technology to be able to drive my precision ag equipment. And so I kind of started messing around with the imagery back well over 20 years ago and kind of experienced a lot of failures like most people have. So I kind of didn't want to give up and kept bouncing off of different imagery types and cameras and lenses and sensors and eventually found something that would work. And eventually that turned into Air Scout.
Yeah, so part of this is a proprietary codec, I'm sure that you have. And the other part is based on thermal imaging?
Correct. I mean, thermal is really what changed things for me. You know, I messed with NDVI, you know, that came out back in the mid-80s and was, you know, was kind of something that worked with the film that they had then. And, of course, now we have modern-day digital cameras, and then thermal cameras have come a long way since that time, you know, and being able to get the resolution up and the cost down. So it was really thermal that changed things for me and made us come along. And it's oftentimes a combination of the thermal and another type of imagery that we put together that really drives the polygons or the zones that we need, you know, inside our field for the precision ag equipment.
What does that mean?
Well, really, in order to make, you know, any of the precision ag equipment work, you know, whether we're just trying to do, you know, variable rate seed for planting or variable rate nitrogen or figure out where the diseases are, first and foremost, we need to have the shapes, the polygons, or the zones, whatever you want to call them, within the field. If we don't have accurate zones, then none of the rest of it works. So, you know, I was on this quest to find good zones. And, you know, whether you're trying to use, you know, old Sergo maps from the 60s and 70s that just don't work, you know, well or you know, never were good from the begin with, you know, it helps to be able to use the modern technology and to be able to look down and be able to see differences in, you know, inorganic matter or soil types or whatever that would drive those zones. And then, of course, with nitrogen, you know, it's kind of easy to do as well. We can either work on it from a, you know, from a type of preventative or type of the plan where we feed the high biomass areas more, you know, in order for them to meet the potential, or we can use the imagery even as a rescue treatment. If you see the corn starting to go yellow, you pick that up right away and you can come in and correct that, you know, oftentimes before, you know, severe yield is, you know, loss has happened.
So you're able to do this from the air, part of it's thermal, and you have some other imaging that helps out. What kind of stress can you show? Obviously you can see, because of the yellow in the corn crop, nitrogen stress. Are there other things that you can see?
Yeah, the thermal in particular picks up water stress. In other words, we're always looking at evapotranspiration of the plants. And for whatever reason, you know, if the plant can't bring up water and transpire it through its leaves, it creates a warm spot in that field. Now, I won't profess to be able to sit in an air-conditioned office and look down and see that warm spot and go, oh, yeah, that's a great leaf spot, or, you know, that's this or that's that. But what it does do is it drives an agronomist on the ground to those particular places to make sure that they can investigate and go, okay, what is going wrong here? We know how much of the field is wrong. Now, you know, is there a remedy that would fix this for us and drive profitability?
If a producer was interested in Air Scout, how do they find you and what kind of services do you actually provide?
Well, it's probably best right now to go to our website, which is airscout.com. And then get a hold of us, you know, directly or one of our people there that can talk things through with you. But we provide it's a season long imagery service to where we start taking pictures in the spring about the time seeds go into the ground, where we get really good bare soil imagery, and then we take images about every 7 to 14 days throughout the entire season, all the way through harvest, so that we build a storybook. And that's kind of the first part that we do. And then on top of that, we also provide the tools to be able to take that imagery and break that into, you know, polygons and the ability to enter rates so that we can export simple shape files that'll work with any, you know, variable rate controller in order to go execute.
Yeah, so those who are using precision agriculture can use it in their mapping systems and vary whatever application they happen to be using at that time. You've told me that you've flown a lot of the Corn Belt. I know I came back from Fargo on Sunday of this week and dropped straight down from Minneapolis to Mason City and then turned back to the east to come home. Serious stress there, at least from Minneapolis to Mason City. A lot of rainfall, and they appear to have run out of nitrogen, though, from Mason City on. The crop looks incredible. Have you been across much of the Corn Belt?
Yeah, we actually have airplanes that cover everything. Oh, from actually have one in Colorado, but then we cover everything in Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. Then we're some into Michigan and Wisconsin. So we've got a pretty good sampling of what's out there. And I'll agree with you. There's certain areas, obviously, that are taking it pretty hard. And unfortunately for those farmers there, they've taken it really hard. From a marketing standpoint, I guess I look at it, though, as the overall crop is really pretty darn good. And as a farmer myself, I always say that, you know, half my job is growing the crop. The other half of the job is marketing that crop. So being able to kind of get a feel for what things look nationally outside of my backyard is definitely helpful. So, overall, I mean, I guess my concern with the big crop is, you know, we see areas in Nebraska, Kansas, even Iowa, some of the areas that are, you know, normally require irrigation to be able to produce a good crop. And this year I'm seeing a lot of the dry land areas that are also going to produce a good crop. So, I guess from my standpoint, I see a pretty good sized crop coming our way. I don't know if it's, you know, what the USDA is forecasting at this time. The areas, I guess, that I do see, you know, that are deficient are, you know, there is a lot of nitrogen deficiency going on from, I think, a lot of the standing water that we've had through the season. And then probably the biggest factor that's a little bit difficult to get a handle on is the disease. One of the things that we can kind of see there with that thermal camera is disease problems. And I've got to say that this year is probably the biggest disease year that I've seen since we started working with the camera. So it'll be a little bit difficult to see what that takes off of the top end of the yield.
Is there much difference between the corn crop and the soybean crop? My initial thought is that the soybean crop still looks far better than the corn crop does.
Yeah, I'd probably argue with you a little bit there. I think they're both looking really good. I mean, the soybean crop suffered more from that wetness in July. I mean, soybeans just don't like to have those wet feet. And I think there was times there in July where the corn was growing so fast it was able to absorb a lot of that water and be able to do something with it, where the soybean crop probably took it a little bit on the nose, you know, there in July. So obviously soybeans are, you know, I've always called them they're a crop of August. So we're just kind of in that now. And I've seen a lot of chest-high beans yield 40 bushel an acre, and knee-high beans yield 60 bushel an acre. So they're a pretty tough plant to predict.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us, Brian.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Brian Sutton is the president and founder of Air Scout. You can find them online at airscout.com. Look them up. Use them for your precision agriculture applications. They, of course, are located on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois on the south end of our facilities. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
It's National Raspberries and Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1782, Andreas Sigmund Marggraf died, a German chemist. He discovered beet sugar, which led to the development of the modern sugar industry. In 1783, John Heathcote was born, an English inventor. He developed and patented the lace net machine, which was capable of the complex and yet delicate motions needed to produce lace. His machines made lace hundreds of times faster than it could be manufactured by hand. In 1794, on this day, marks the Whiskey Rebellion. Protesting the 1791 federal tax on distilled spirits, a large gathering of rebels in western Pennsylvania burned the regional tax inspector's home. President George Washington ordered 13,000 troops to the area, but by the time of their arrival, the opposition had disappeared. And in 1834, Joseph Marie Jacquard died, a French silk weaver. He was the inventor of the Jacquard programmable power loom for brocaded fabric. His use of punch cards was later applied to census data and eventually input cards in early computers. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast for the Corn Belt now. We'll start way out in Lincoln, Nebraska, where a good portion of the week it'll be fairly warm temperatures you would expect in that 85, 89, 90, 91 degrees for the next several days. Their lows will be down in the 60s. The highest low comes on Friday evening at 70 degrees. They don't really look for any rainfall in the Lincoln, Nebraska area. Des Moines, Iowa, this week in that 89 to 90 degree temperature range. Nothing too hot, and their lows in the upper 60s to the low 70s. Again, Friday night, their highest low with a 71 degree low. Otherwise, fairly normal temperatures. And again, mostly sunshine in that Des Moines, Iowa area. And then if we move into Minneapolis, Minnesota, lows are a bit lower, but not by much, by a couple of degrees in that 66, 68 degree low area. They will have a low of 70 degrees. That's their highest low. That won't come until Sunday. And their highs will reach the 90-degree mark, but just barely for a good portion of the week here in the great state of Illinois. We're expecting temperatures not to make it into the 90s for a good portion of the week. 82, 83, 87, 87, 83, 82, 85 for the highs. The lows, 67, 66, 68, 68, 66, and 66. And no rainfall in the forecast as we look forward. Indianapolis, Indiana, same sort of thing. Those lows will be in the upper 60s, the highs in the mid-80s. They may have a chance for a rainfall all the way through Wednesday. And then a couple of other places that we should check in on, Manhattan, Kansas. That's going to be hot out there. They'll be in the upper 90s for a good portion of the week, though they've got a pretty wide spread down to their lows, which should be in the upper 60s, so they'll have a nice widespread. And in Columbus, Ohio, all the way on the other side of the Corn Belt, from the west to the east, they'll be in the mid to upper 80s for their highs all week long, and their lows will be much warmer. A good number of those in the very low 70s, a couple of them in the mid 60s. So a little pressure happening there as it relates to the crop. That's a quick look at the agricultural weather forecast across the Corn Belt. You can always find those online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. In fact, there you can find all of our agricultural programming, most of it its entirety, not long after it airs on our radio station, and then some of it we'll post before it ever airs on the radio station. Commodity Week is normally one of those. However, this week that program will be live Friday afternoon, as Friday is the USDA's first crop production report of the season for corn and soybeans. Those numbers are due out at 11 o'clock. We'll post our Twitter feed, willag.org, into the homepage there, Twitter online, of course, looking for at Commodity Week. So we'll post at Commodity Week. That's the handle for Twitter feed into the willag.org website. You have a great afternoon and a good day. Stay safe. I'll talk with you again tomorrow when we'll take another look at what's been happening in Chicago at the CME Group and the weather across the growing regions of the United States and the planet. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.